everyone, Annette Nada here, and welcome back to another episode of A Course in Miracles with Annette Nada. Today, we're still on what is the ego? I've been loving our discussions about the ego.
I have too.
Really? I really have. It's been really helpful because I think I've been thinking about them all through the days.
Me too. And it's something how we can just talk, kind of talk and talk and talk about the ego. But until we have like a discussion focused on the ego, I think that's what I also love about the what is sections, because they really help us to focus on a particular topic that's important in A Course in Miracles.
Yes. And I don't know if you remember, I don't think we said this on the podcast, but we said it right before the podcast on the very first day. Like
all those many months ago?
No, just the first day of what is the ego.
Okay.
I had mentioned to you, it was like, wow, I feel like we have talked about the ego thought system so much. Mm-hmm. Like, what else was there going to be for us to say? But there really is a lot
There's
for us
a lot.
To say.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about all those years, almost an entire year ago now. We have less than a month left.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to believe.
Yeah, it went by pretty fast.
Mm-hmm. So with that, we are on What is the Ego, like I said, and we're also on lesson 337. What is the ego? The ego is idolatry, the sign of limited and separated self, born in a body doomed to suffer and to end its life in death. It is the will that sees the will of God as enemy and takes a form in which it is denied. The ego is the proof that strength is weak and love is fearful. Life is really death, and what opposes God alone is true.
The ego is insane. In fear, it stands beyond the everywhere, apart from all, in separation from the infinite. In its insanity, it thinks it has become a victor over God himself, and in its terrible autonomy, it sees the will of God has been destroyed. It dreams of punishment and trembles at the figures in its dreams, its enemies who seek to murder it before it can ensure its safety by attacking them.
The Son of God is egoless. What can he know of madness and the death of God when he abides in him? What can he know of sorrow and of suffering when he lives in eternal joy? What can he know of fear and punishment, of sin and guilt, of hatred and attack, when all there is surrounding him is everlasting peace, forever conflict-free and undisturbed, in deepest silence and tranquility?
To know reality is not to know the ego and its thoughts, its works, its acts, its laws, and its beliefs, its dreams, its hopes, its plans for its salvation, and the cost belief in it entails. In suffering, the price for peace in it is so immense that crucifixion of the Son of God is offered daily at its darkened shrine, and blood must flow before the altar where its sickly followers prepare its feast of death.
Yet will one lily of forgiveness change the darkness into light, the altar to illusions, to the shrine of life itself, and peace will be restored forever to the holy minds which God created as his Son, his dwelling place, his joy, his love, completely his, completely one with him. What is the ego?
Lesson 337. My sinlessness protects me from all harm. My sinlessness ensures me perfect peace, eternal safety, everlasting love, freedom forever from all thoughts of loss, complete deliverance from suffering. And only happiness can be my state, for only happiness is given me. What must I do to know all this is mine? I must accept atonement for myself and nothing more. God has already done all things that need be done. I but must learn, I need do nothing of myself, for I need but accept my true self, my sinlessness, created for me, now already mine, to feel God's love protecting me from harm, to understand my Father loves his Son, to know I am the Son my Father loves.
You who created me in sinlessness are not mistaken about what I am. I was mistaken when I thought I sinned, but I accept atonement for myself. Father, my dream is ended now. Amen.
So I did not know that this was coming because we just tend to read the lesson for the day. We don't like go ahead with our podcast. This is what I think it was just yesterday that I was trying to say, is that even if we have done things and lived a lot of our life in the ego thought system, when we choose again and we choose love and we invite love in, turn it over, then we don't have to do anything else. What must I do to know all this is mine? I must accept atonement for myself and nothing more. All I do is recognize who I truly am and allow love to guide everything that I do. And God has already done all things that need be done. I always, when I see the word but in this context, I would say only. I must only learn I need do nothing of myself, for I need but accept my true self, my sinlessness created for me, now already mine, to feel God's love protecting me from harm, to understand my Father loves his Son, to know I am the Son my Father loves. So we don't have to figure it out. We don't have to figure out what it's going to look like or what we do next. It's just, I will step back and let him lead the way.
So in your opinion, why do we as people, like, so what we have right here, I must accept atonement for myself and nothing more. I but must learn I need do nothing of myself, for I need but accept my true self, my sinlessness created for me, now already mine, to feel God's love protecting me from harm, to understand my Father loves his Son, to know I am the Son my Father loves. So why do we, like, we can read that, but then why is it so easy to kind of just brush over that and go to, well, I need to forgive so-and-so. I need to, like, do this, that, and the other. Like, we can read this, but it seems that in so much, whether it's commentary, like on something like A Course in Miracles and just general spirituality, it is so rare for it to then come back where it's only, I must accept atonement for myself and nothing more. Does that make sense?
The answer is just because the ego thought system will, let's go back to the ego here. The ego thought system will make it complicated. The ego thought system, so in its insanity, it thinks it has become a victor over God himself, so it can't be that easy, Ada. I mean, you can't just, like, turn it over. You have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do the other thing. And also, it dreams of punishment and trembles at the figures in its dreams, its enemies who seek to murder it before it can ensure its safety by attacking them.
Just as a side note, one thing I think about when I read that very last sentence, it dreams of punishment and trembles at the figures in its dreams, its enemies who seek to murder it before it can ensure its own safety by attacking them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have that kind of in my head when I read that, and it helps give it some clarity for me.
Well, and so, but you're also saying, well, isn't there, you know, like, it just sounds too simple? Is that what you're saying?
It's not so much that it sounds too simple, but it seems that all of this stuff gets applied everywhere but to ourselves.
So what's this stuff? So same.
Whether it's forgiveness, whether it's this idea of atonement, it's always everywhere else but right where it actually counts.
So if you're saying it, you know, forgiveness is my method to the atonement, I must forgive this person over here.
It's about forgiving everybody else, but right where it counts.
Well, and that's why the course is going to always teach you all forgiveness is self-forgiveness.
Well, it's just like, how did everything get so confused?
Because it's the ego thought system.
Well, because this is just one of, as the Manual for Teachers says, one of 1,000 forms of the universal course. And I think when I read that, if you think of in some other cultures, if you say like 1,000 or tens of thousands, it just means a
many.
Lot.
It just means many.
Yeah. And then if you get hundreds of thousands, or it's like infinite. And so if it's just one form of the universal course, this is obviously taught other places, but how did we all get so confused that we think it's about everybody else but ourselves?
The Son of God had a tiny, mad idea. What would it be like to be separate from God? What would it be like to be separate from our Creator? What would it be like to be separate from love? And the answer, this. What we live every day from the ego thought system, if we are in the physical, we are in the, where this is the, where the ego thought system reigns. We can be in the Holy Spirit thought system in the physical, but that's because we're in the ego thought system and the Holy Spirit comes into that. So that's how it happened, is that we had a tiny mad idea. What would it be like to be separate from love? So there was only love, just like it says at the beginning of the book in the introduction, there was only love, and love created like itself. So love created only love. But love, that was the extension of love, said, well, what would it be like to be separate from love? Tiny mad idea. And that created, some people say that's the moment of the Big Bang. I don't really think it's necessary to believe that or not believe it. But it is, and these are just words. Words are just symbols of symbols. Right? So these are words for humans to kind of understand what happened. And I don't know if we can really understand what happened, but what it's saying in the course is, this is, we had this tiny mad idea, what would it be like to be separate from love? And this is what it would be like to be separate. So that's how it got all cattywampus.
Mm-hmm.
And remember though, you know, what is salvation? Gonna turn to it again. The thought of peace was given to God's Son the instant that his mind had thought of war. That's the, how, what would it be like to be separate from love? That was the war. There was no need for such a thought before. Love created like itself. There was only love. For peace was given without opposite and merely was. But when the mind is split, there is a need of healing. So instead of just having that Holy Spirit thought system, we now have a split mind. So the thought that has the power to heal the split became a part of every fragment of the mind, which still was one, but failed to recognize its oneness. And now it, the split mind, did not know itself and thought its own identity was lost. That's the second paragraph, is what is salvation. So that's what happened, is that we have now a split mind, and most of us have just lived our entire physical existence, and you could even say many existences if you believe in that sort of thing, and we're coming from the ego thought system. Does that mean that the voice for love isn't talking to us all through the day? No, it doesn't mean that. But it means that the raucous shrieks of the ego are so loud, we can't hear love. Does that answer your question?
It does. It's not as a... It's like the actual answer isn't as like this nice, crisp, and clear answer that I would really like. Like, oh, it's because I don't know. I don't even have like a make-believe reason, but I just always kind of wish there was a very simple, nice reason.
But see, that is simple. There was only love. Love extended like itself. Love said, what would it be like to be separate from love? And now we're being shown.
Mm-hmm.
How much more simple could you get?
Well, I guess. I just always just thought like, how did we get everything
well,
all
because
screwed
it,
up?
Well, because it is, because it, the ego, you know, fear feeds on itself.
That's very true.
You know, so if something happens and one person goes in the fear and then they share it and then they're, you know, the fear is doubled and then, you know, this is how wars start. You know, all these conspiracy theories that are floating around on the different things. I mean, you think of conspiracy theories when it comes to politics, but those have been going on forever. Like, you know, like people coming from out of space and this and that. I mean, people have always been kind of scaring one another or
suspicious.
And to me, if you think of the conspiracy theory, just ask love, is this true? And love will show you if you're willing to see. We're always shown. That's what I've just really know at this point in my life. We're always shown, but I lived so much of my life. I would ask, or, you know, you say like, I would pray. And I would ask for help, but the second the words were out of my mouth, I took the problem back. I didn't know how to turn it over. So I would give it to God and take it right back. Give it to love and take it right back. Well, for most of my life, I didn't even think of God as love.
God was just God.
God was just God, who I kept very, very far away.
Mm-hmm. It's really developing that trust for love.
Well, yes. And we do that, I believe, by allowing love in.
So you have to trust to allow love in, but you allow love in by learning to trust.
Yeah, because it's just like, so you allow love in a little bit and you say, I didn't die in a car accident. I always thought like if I allowed love in, if I gave my whole life to God, you know, they always like, you know, do you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and do you give your life to God? I thought the minute I really did that, I would die in a car accident. Somebody I loved would die. My house would catch on fire. My pet would die. I mean, I just thought it worked that way.
Wow.
And then now, you know, I know, well, actually, we're all using these words and we're all afraid. And if we could just allow love in a little bit in our own way, love will meet us where we're at, where we are.
That's like our prayer today. You who created me in sinlessness are not mistaken about what I am. I was mistaken when I thought I sinned, but I accept atonement for myself. Father, my dream is ended. Now, amen.
Yeah, and I do believe that love meets us. So, like, if we're of a certain religion, love finds us there. If we're of no religion, love finds us there. If we're a Course in Miracles student, love finds us there. If we're a little boy walking on the beach and we're just asking, love can find us there. I mean, love will find us in the form that speaks to us.
Yeah. I think that's a wonderful place to end it for today.
These podcasts go by so fast.
I know.
Yeah. Well, have a wonderful day. We are practicing lesson 337 today. My sinlessness protects me from all harm. See you tomorrow.
See you then.